Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 775. The topic is Q&A and the title is Be My Best with Only 2 Workouts a Week. I recently did a consultation. We were going to record it. However, we were having some technical difficulties with the person's phone. Their phone died halfway through, and then we had to kind of go through some craziness to sort it out. So it didn't work for it to be recorded live and then shared. So I'm going to recap what we discussed. The person is having trouble figuring out how they can be their best. How can they be strong? How can they have good muscle? How can they be flexible, fit, athletic, you know, low body fat, or at least lean body fat, controlled body fat? How can they be their best given the structure that they have for their life? And in their structure of life, they perceive themselves to only be able to work out twice a week in regards to like a known consistency. Every once in a while, they might be able to sneak in more, but their like kind of minimum that they can count on is twice a week. If they get more, that's great, and they feel good, but they don't want to set a standard of 3 or 4, knowing that 2 is most likely, and then just always feel frustrated and feel defeated. So what we did was we talked about how to structure their training and nutrition, where 2 times a week would be okay, and it would definitely move them forward, how they can get stronger, how they can build muscle, how they control body fat, and also address like postural needs and individual weaknesses that can negatively impact their quality of life. How do we do all of that with only twice a week? It can be done, by the way. Absolutely, I've done this a bajillions of times, but I wanted to go through and kind of talk about how we did it for this person. My hope then is other people can learn, you know, when life kind of throws a monkey wrench at you and you might only get 1 or 2 workouts in that week, what can you do? Also, just how can you be better efficient with the workouts you already do? There's some things for us to learn in there. How we can better manage nutrition as well on training days versus non-training days versus even consecutive non-training days, which is a difference. So, what I want to get into, and we'll talk a little bit more about this when I get into the nutrition section, but the nutrition advice would require that the person pays attention to what their caloric total is. If you are not counting calories, you can still use the concepts, but it's not going to be as successful. If you are counting calories, but you don't actually follow the damn numbers that you're supposed to follow, again, you're not going to get that great of results. So make sure that if you're going to try these things, track them. If you just haphazardly try the idea of them, you'll probably get results, sure. But don't hold me accountable for the best results when you're not giving your best. The reason why I bring this up is I was talking with somebody recently and they were asking, they have a nutrition structure and a training structure. And we had talked about the concepts of consecutive off days. Now, I've been actually talking about it with somebody else. They overheard and said, man, you know, why don't you have me doing that? So they train Monday through Thursday, and then they take Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. And they asked, why didn't I have them adjusting their nutrition on Friday compared to Saturday or Sunday? And my answer was, is you're not consistent enough that it would actually make any damn bit of difference. You don't pay attention to what you eat. You very rarely track anything. Some more like Saturdays, you sleep through your first meal. You don't eat anything during the day because you're busy. Then you overeat at night. It wouldn't matter what the hell numbers you had in your head. Your actions aren't following through. So I told them, I said, if you feel like you aren't given the best information, you first have to put in the best effort. As a trainer, it would be stupid of me to ask that person to do these special nuances of, you know, whether Friday was a, 5% below caloric maintenance, Saturday would be 10% below, Sunday would be 15% below. Because each day they have less and less muscle damage, so therefore their metabolism actually lowers a little bit. So in order to maintain a proper deficit for fat loss, a little bit of a percentage caloric reduction along the 3 days off is actually really effective, and it's a great way to get more fat loss and have more control. They're not checking a damn thing that's going to help them actually know whether they're 5% or 10% off. So to that person, and we already went through this, and I know they're listening to this, and I'm totally okay with what I'm saying, because I said it to their face, and we ended the conversation laughing, and, you know, still friends and things. But it's like, you gotta be shitting me. Like, you ask me to tell you these specific nuances, and you're still, you know, drinking soda and not counting it. You're still eating chocolate and not counting it. You're still telling me you're quote-unquote following the diet, but you're skipping meals and eating at the wrong time. Bullshit behavior. To then ask me to be accountable to these special nuances. Now, it does. I don't know what this is going to sound like. It might sound like me just going on a rant. But it just took me by surprise. And then we talked about it, and they know. I was surprised that they were frustrated that they weren't given that information whenever the information they're already given, they're not even doing. So if you're not even doing what you currently know you should do, why the hell are you looking for more? If I can't carry 5 pounds, why would I ask somebody to hand me 10? If I can't work 8 hours, why the hell would I ask my boss for overtime? If I can't do the things that I'm supposed to do today, why the hell am I looking for more? Do you know why? Because it excuses us of the work today. I don't have to work hard at this because there might be something really cool out there in the future that when I do that and I really have to put my effort into that, that'll be worth it. Stupid. What you know to do today, you should be doing today. And you should be looking for an improvement for tomorrow. You should not half-ass today, thinking that then when you find the right thing, you'll be able to use your whole ass. You haven't built the ability to use your whole ass. Okay? If you don't have the discipline for what you're supposed to do today, you will not have the discipline for what you're supposed to do tomorrow. Excuse me. How do you expect to have the internal mindset, the internal discipline, the internal willpower? How do you expect to have the lifestyle structure to account for the change of behavior? How do you expect to have any of the skills to do the more advanced stuff if you can't even do the damn basics today? This is absolute bullshit mentality. This is the stuff that holds people back from being their best. Because they discount the small stuff that they know today, always looking for the better thing tomorrow. Sorry, I got a tickle in my throat. I'm yelling at you guys and fate or Mother Nature or somebody scratching at me. So maybe I need this message too, okay? We all do. So I'll call myself here my rant and say that even I struggle every day to do the best of what I know to do today. But I try my best to do it. I tell you guys all the time that I have daily trackers that I track. It's 13 actions every single day that help me live my best life. Do I do all 13 every single day? No, I don't. Some of them are damn difficult and life gets in the way. But I'm at 80% or more adherence to, I think, like 8 of the 13. The rest of the 5, I have 2 that are below 50% because they're hard for me to do and they require a big major change in life. I'm working towards that and they're getting better, but they're still not great. The other ones are somewhere between 50 to 80%. Some of the lifestyle changes are in place, but they kind of drop off if I'm not really intently on them every single day. So I do struggle every day to be my best, but I'm working my best at it. I am not slacking today, waiting for some secret thing that I deem will be worth my efforts tomorrow. How are you going to be great at big things if you can't even be great at the small ones? So please, 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 please think that through. What you know to do today, take care of today, while still building your tomorrow. Don't be lazy today, wondering why you're not getting the results you want, while looking for this someday, this tomorrow, this next Monday bullshit that'll somehow solve everything. The only thing that can solve it is you doing what you're supposed to do today. The stuff that's boring, the stuff that's not fun, the stuff that's challenging, it changes the status quo, makes you work harder than what you really want to, that prevents you from being able to sit on the couch of life and eating Cheetos. Get off your ass, get to work, and try to be your best. Be your best with what you know today. And stop looking for tomorrow. Okay, now, I just got side rant. Hopefully everybody's still listening, or at least someone is still listening. So, now that I've said that, and I feel better, sounds like therapy for me. What we want to do is, if I want to work out and be my best on the fewest workouts per week, I do want to give a structure for that. This is a hard transition, so thank you for those who are following with me. I'm laughing about going from a rant to this, but thank you. So, what I told this client was, or this listener to the podcast, was their work schedule is Monday through Friday, they drive truck. So, they're driving, they said like probably a minimum of 14 hours a day. So 12 to 14 hours a day. I'm sure there's rules and regulations and stuff. I don't know all of them, but they're busy a minimum of 12 hours a day. Then the time that they're not doing that, they have to do other things. And they said very rarely do they ever have the ability to work out on those days. Because they're driving, they're never really like in a single location that they can count on a gym. Anything they try to take with them, it's difficult because what are they supposed to do, work out on the side of the road or at some, you know, truck stop? Can that be done? Hell yes. But it is more difficult to do and it feels awkward. Also, just on those days, they're mentally drained. They are mentally exhausted from trying to drive correctly and safely to then try to work out at the end of the day. So, on those days, we do have some things. I'll get back to those in a second. But those are considered the days that if I don't get anything in, so be it. I'm not going to expect anything on those days. Then they have Friday through Sunday that they are quote unquote home and they can count on more consistency on those days. The caveat though is they have errands to run, they have life events, they have things they got to manage. This particular person has someone in their life getting married and they are kind of participating in the process of that and it just feels overwhelming. So that was part of the reason why they reached out. Okay, now. So if this person really only has two workouts a week that they can count on, what can they do? Well, we said that one of the days, the first of the two, should be focused on lower body strength with full body kind of like circuit exercises placed around the lower body strength exercise. The second day is an upper body strength workout with full body circuit, kind of focused around that. The individual workout structures. The first thing they do is movement preparation. So they have to get themselves ready to move. Due to the fact that they sit for a long time, whether this is in a truck or whether it's at a computer, what typically they have to address in their movement preparation, how do they prepare themselves for movement that day, is they have to address tight hip flexors and a tight lower back. Weak abdominal muscles and weak glutes. Now, not everybody's the exact same way. Some people will almost have what would appear to be like the opposite of this, is they'll have a really tight psoas, they'll have really tight hamstrings, still have weak glutes and still have weak abs, but it's kind of shown in a different way. Some people's hips are going to be tilted forward, with kind of like their belly sticking out and their butt sticking out and the lower back being super tight. Other people are going to have what would look like their butts kind of scooped underneath them and they kind of look like they're rounded over or frumped over. These are very common adaptations to careers or jobs that involve a lot of sitting. If we want to do a squat or a deadlift or a basic movement in that way, we have to move those exercises with neutral hips. We have to squat and deadlift with neutral hips in order to be safe. But very rarely do people walk through the door of their gym with neutral hips. They walk in with hip flexor issues, lower back issues, abdominal issues, and glute issues. The musculature of the hips are often set with imbalanced tightnesses and weaknesses. So for this client, their combination, because we did a kind of like a review with pictures and kind of descriptions, we talked a little bit more about this stuff, was they have tight hip flexors and tight lower back. So I sent them exercises that they would do to loosen the tightnesses of those areas. They have weak abdominals and weak glutes. So we sent exercises that they would do to isolate those areas and strengthen them. So the first thing they do in their workout is prepare themselves to move by stretching their hip flexors and lower back and by strengthening the abdominals and glutes. Then we go into the major movement for the day. On the lower body day, they're actually doing a variation of a squat and a variation of a deadlift. One week, they're going to have kind of heavier squats and higher rep range deadlifts. So maybe they'll have a heavy squat of like 5 sets of 3x5. So 5 sets of 3 to 5 reps. Then the deadlift will be 5 sets of 6 to 10 reps of some variation. Typically, the squat is going to be an overloaded technique. The deadlift will be an underloaded technique. Underloaded means some kind of deadlift that's harder to do than the regular deadlift. An overloaded squat means it's going to be some type of squat that's easier, that allows for a heavy weight load compared to a normal squat. Maybe this will be reverse band, something like that, that helps them use more weight than they normally would be able to. Then the following week, they inverse those. The deadlifts are going to go to the 5 sets of 3 to 5 reps with an overload technique. The squats are going to go to 5 sets of 6 to 10 reps with an underload technique. After that, they're going to go into full body circuits, something that addresses push muscles, which is your chest, front, shoulders, and triceps, something that addresses their pull muscles of the upper body, which is their back, rear delts, and biceps, and then still some more stuff for legs and core. So they're going to have push, pull, core, legs. And they're going to pick exercises that focus on those, do them in a circuit, anywhere from 3 to 5 sets of somewhere between 10 to 20 reps. There's some variances there, but that's a general range. So that's their workout. They come in, they do movement prep, they do the strength movement, and then they do a circuit. Commonly with the strength movement, we pair with it something that improves that movement. So maybe they have kind of like history of bad knees, so we'll do band TKEs during the squats. You know, if they are doing a deadlift variation that day and they have difficulty feeling their glutes, we maybe do some kind of bodyweight glute prep. But that's typically what we do. So in the lower body day, it's a squat and deadlift supersetted as their strength movements, their heavier stuff. On the upper body day, it's a push and pull supersetted. So maybe, you know, a bench press and a row, or an overhead press and a pull up or pull down, something like that. But it follows the same pattern of movement preparation, stretching and strengthening muscles that we know are needed for proper positioning. Then the strength superset, or the strength circuit, is going to be one movement being 5 sets of 3 to 5 reps with an overload technique. The other one is 5 sets of 6 to 10 reps with an underload technique, and the next week you flip. So for upper body, maybe week one is the push muscles are the heavy, the 5 sets of 3 to 5 reps. But in week two, the pull muscles are the heavy for 5 sets of 3 to 5 reps. An example of a heavy pull might be a barbell bent over row. So maybe even like driving off the floor with leg drive. So almost like the start of a deadlift. It helps really work your core as well. So that's going to be the idea of those workouts. That's going to be the structure. You can get that done actually in under an hour, about an hour actually. So they're setting it up now where it's going to be about an hour and a half because they want to include some kind of thing at the end of like a muscular endurance, cardiovascular endurance, like side sprints, battle ropes, tire flips, some strongman type things. So you can add that if you want to for sure. Okay. Then the other days, we said that like Monday through Thursday, they can't really work out, or what happens if they do get to work out on the third day on the weekend. There are at-home, no-equipment bodyweight workouts you can do. There are 10 to 30 minutes. You can find them on YouTube all over the place. It's just using your own fat ass against yourself, basically. And they're great workouts, don't require any equipment. You can find different time frames for them, 10 minutes, 15, 20, 25, 30. So those are great, great options. Okay? So that's how we handle the training. Now for nutrition, what we want to do is on the training day, they want to front load the day with lots of carbohydrates. After the training, they want to post-load the day with lots of proteins and fats. The carbohydrates fuel the workouts to make sure they have kick-ass energy and kick-ass workouts. The post-loading of the protein and fats allows to make sure they have the best recovery. The next day, the first off day, they still kind of have carbs at the beginning of the day, but they'll focus more towards fats at the end of the day. This helps to replenish glycogen stores, which is stored carbohydrates in the muscles. It helps to reestablish decent energy levels. They have a higher amount of protein than their normal average because they're still recovering from the workout day. Their second off day, they want to adjust for caloric maintenance. So on training day, they're going to be significantly over their caloric maintenance amount, like 20, 30%. The next day, the first day off, we're actually typically going to still be at like a 5 or 10% increase from maintenance because they have all the damage going on from the day before. The second and subsequent off days, they want to adjust for caloric maintenance. Excuse me. If their goal is to lose fat, they would want to be under caloric maintenance by 5 to 20%, somewhere in that range. If they want a little bit of fat loss, 5%. If they want an extreme amount of fat loss, 20%. If they're actually trying to gain size, they want to at least eat at caloric maintenance, maybe 5% over. I wouldn't go too much over on your second off day and subsequent off days because there's really no more demand for extra calories. So anything over on those days is more likely to lead towards body fat. If somebody's trying to gain size, they would eat more on training days in the first recovery day, not on the subsequent recovery days. So this is what I talked about with that listener, was we took their schedule, we figured out their needs, and we created their plan. This is a plan that was 100% created for them. It takes all the rules that we know about training and nutrition and applies them specifically to that person's individual needs. So thank you for the listener who participated in this. I apologize for everybody else that you didn't get to hear the audio part. But, you know, life happens. So at least you're getting the information. You had to live through 10 minutes of me being ranty and angry. But then you got hopefully some good, helpful information. If you like the handout for this, we do always outline our podcasts. So if you ever want to just see the outline of this, that way it helps to make more sense of it, let us know. We'll always be happy to email it to you. But hopefully this was helpful for everyone to see how you can manage nutrition appropriately on training days versus non-training days, and even subsequent, like repetitive non-training days. It also was helpful to see the way in which you would structure workouts, the way in which to address kind of movement preparation, how you can best organize your strength work, and how you can organize the circuit work so that way you can still get fat loss, muscle building, muscle endurance, all the other goals you'd want other than just strength. Hopefully this was helpful. If you'd like the free consultation, just email us. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. We'll be happy to set this up for you. So again, we will just kind of do a recording, post it for everybody. Awesome, awesome to learn. You can be anonymous, so don't worry. You don't have to tell your life story to everybody. Also, you can find more information on us on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. Okay, so if you like the podcast, if you think it's helpful, please, please, please share it. You can share it with family and friends. You can share it in emails, conversations, text messages, social media, however. The more we share it, the more people we can help. So thank you for those who do share. Also, if you like this information, you can find more from us on our social media channels of Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. You can tell us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful. And thank you for listening.